there are times, Hugh, where coach speak is accurate. And coach talked about, you know, the fact that the team is, you know, 4-4 and they've won 3 in a row, and kind of how it speaks to, you know, staying the course and you know, working on the fundamentals and things of that nature. And he has preached this, stay the course, work on the fundamentals, preached it, and it's paying off now.
Yeah, John, I mean, and I know, like, for me sitting here with you sometimes, I understand that, you know, you're a fan of the team, which I totally respect. But at the same time, it's like being in that season mode and knowing how coaches talk. And Coach Quinn came on, he basically said the same thing. Hey, man, you know, it's one game at a time.
Right. Mm.
That's the way that you have to approach it, John. You can't get too full of yourself. And just like Coach Quinn always says, that there's always more work to do, because that's the life of an NFL football player. Like, as well as Drew Brees is playing, as well as he's playing, you just talked about earlier how they're pegged as the number one team in NFL right now. As well as he's playing, I can guarantee you in that office, in that film room, Sean Payton is telling Drew, hey, Drew, yeah, you did. This is a good play, but, you know, you probably could have made a better play, hit it over here or something like that. That's just how it is. That's how you stay in the moment. You don't get complacent. You don't get like, say, hey, we've arrived. Because you know every week in the NFL that you're putting that title on the line.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being a boxer that's fighting every Sunday. You're fighting every Sunday. And every Sunday you got to put that title on the line. You can never get to that point where you're saying, I'm satisfied with where I am, because somebody's coming to try to shorten your neck.
Yeah, and he said, you know, now with this 3-game win streak, he sees the confidence growing, and he wants it to keep growing, and we want to continue, you know, obviously make this a 4-game streak, and then Dallas comes to a 5-game streak, and then you head into Thanksgiving down in the swamp. And so this team is building. This is why I ask him about, you get a sense that you're ready to blast off. And he doesn't want to go that far with it.
No, he can't.
He can't.
But not on the air.
Not on the air. But I also took away when he said, well, you know, the confidence keeps growing. Confidence is growing. We want to keep it going. In other words, I think that's his way of saying, yeah, you know what, if this goes the way. Let me just say this, too, about Dan Quinn. Here's his fourth season. First year starts off, he comes out of the gate really fast, ends up 8-8 in a 500 year, which is okay because it was an improvement over the Mike Smith's final year, obviously. And then the next year, he does the improbable and makes this wicked run to the Super Bowl. Then in year three, he's kind of left for dead in the water in the middle of the year, after the losses to Miami and Buffalo, yet makes another run that if they make a play in Philadelphia, who knows where that ends up, you know. And so here he gets to year four. If he takes this team in the second half of the season to the playoffs this year, it will be the best performance by Dan Quinn as a head coach to date, even including a Super Bowl run, because he did it with all these injuries, in my opinion. I think it will be a masterstroke to take this team to the –
John, you didn't put it out there so far. I don't even know what to say behind all that. You, bro.
I just say if he does.
Bro, you done laid it on so thick. It'll be a great run, John. I don't going to the Super Bowl is a big deal. But, boy, when you get in your I don't even know.
Well, Dave Archer tried to tell him that the other day. One game at a time.
Yeah, one game at a time is boring.
Hey, T, could you help? Hey, T, I need a lifeline.
So, based on that, you know what? Based on that analogy, you're already saying Duke is going to win the national championship.
Oh, my God.
Based on last night.
Last night?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's a done deal.
You got to love him, though.
Duke ain't going to lose a game.
You got to love him, though, because when John puts it on, like, it leaves you no wiggle room. It's like, are you with me? Like Jerry Maguire. Remember Jerry Maguire? When he's like, who's coming with me? John, I don't think I can walk out there with you, dog. I'm with you. I mean, it'll be a epic story to tell. But to say it's better, now, I don't know about that. Hey, we coached a team that was banged up and we got to the playoffs. That's the best coaching job in the history of me coaching. No, John Fricky.
You know what? I wish you were like that with those lottery numbers, maybe we wouldn't be here.
Well, I didn't pick them, did I?
No, you didn't.
Okay. Just checking. Maybe next time that would be me.
This is the best coaching job ever.
ever in life.
But you all right, let me rephrase it so that you can
digest it a little bit.
Okay, fine. All right, if you prefer that term, fine. But you have to. Would you agree that if he all right, just set
it's
aside,
impressive.
Yes, it would be an impressive.
But
job.
It's not better than going to
okay,
Super Bowl.
Okay, fine. Forget about setting against.
Okay,
the Super
fine.
Bowl.
Okay, but I can forget about that.
Just standing
okay,
on its own, it'd be a pretty darn impressive job.
It'd be impressive, okay, John. It'd be impressive. Yes.
Right, maybe I got over my skis. All right. So,
but hey, John, that's you. That is you yes, in a nutshell.
I know.
I just was. You know, but you leave me here sometimes trying to figure out going, a nice way of letting you down easy.
Yeah, well, that was my dating life. Not that I would have dated you. I'm just,
no, I'm just
get
saying,
him off you, John.
No, I'm just saying. But Daryl,
he's not
you,
wrong.
But Daryl, John put it way out of in the stratosphere, and it's like, okay.
Hey,
how am I supposed to respond to that?
I'm growing this beard for a reason, you
know.
No,
and I get it, John, and I get it. And I love that you're like that. But it's like I feel bad sometimes when I have to respond.
Well, it's like we said yesterday, Wendy and I said yesterday, he finally got a coach fired.
Yes. With a smile on his face to report the news.
Yeah, because it's just like, ooh, okay, John. There you have it. There it is.
All right, just a couple of injury updates. Coach did mention Rocky Alford will be back at practice, so that's a very good sign. Certainly looks like Robert Alford will be ready to go against Cleveland. And now Matt Bryan's going to kick again tomorrow. We'll see. I mean, Giorgio Tavecchio, I mean, when you're not kicking already this part of the week, I'm thinking it's entirely probable you're going back up there with Giorgio Tavecchio this week. And you know what? If Matt Bryan's not exactly 100% Hugh, and you're going up to a cold weather environment, I'm
you
okay.
Don't want
you know,
hey.
And by the way, and knock on for Micah, Giorgio Tavecchio been perfect so far for the Falcons.
Hey, you know what? I remember I said a couple weeks ago that Giorgio Tavecchio, he might not be here that long, but listen, coach used to always tell me this too, can't make the club in the tub. Can't make the club in the tub. And the more that Giorgio Tavecchio kicks, the more, I mean, and it's just that, listen, I'm not trying to be mean to Matt Bryan. I'm not, because he's been a solid kicker. But he's getting a little older. And the more that Tavecchio goes out there and handles his business, it becomes one of those things where eventually we're going to have to move on. And if you got a guy, bird in hand, beat two in the bush. That's all I'm saying.
You really want Melissa to hit you up on Twitter?
Melissa who?
Melissa Bryant.
Melissa
Matt Bryant.
Bryant.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Listen, Miss Bryant. Yeah, I'm not.
And the whole brood, all seven
listen,
of them.
I'm no disrespect. I'm just saying. Husband had a nice run. None of us outrun Father Time. That's all I'm saying. But he's a good kicker, and everything that I don't want that smoke this morning.
Yeah,
everything that I just said, Ms. Bryant, I back up off of
exactly.
that. I don't feel like being confrontational.
Yeah, because she'll shout you out on Twitter.
Oh no, I believe it.
Yeah,
I believe it.
Yeah,
I believe it.
Matt will tell you. Oh, my wife will go out on her
no,
Twitter.
No, okay. Well, I pull it back. I'm pulling that one back. Ms. Bryant, please don't hit me up on Twitter.
By the way, just one small correction. Matt Bryant has been great, but that's just me. But, you know, here's
yeah,
the thing.
My bad, John. Yes, Matt Bryant has been great. My bad. Go. Yeah, he's
there
been
go.
Great.
I just want to check that. You know, good. What do you mean good? All right, so no, not that Melissa Bryant, by the way, is a sweetheart.
No, I bet she is. I just don't want that smoke this morning.
Yeah, so here's another thing to think about when it comes to Tavecchio and Bryant. If you're not exactly sure that Matt Bryant's 100%, look, Matt Bryant comes back at 100% and you are Matt Bryant's your kicker. But if he's not exactly 100, here's the thing. You've got a guy now that you really like at Tavecchio. If it were that Matt Bryant could never kick again, and that's not probably going to be the
why
case.
Why are you going there, man?
But I'm just saying, follow me here. The one thing you don't want to do is not only do you not want to rush Matt Bryant back, but you have to know now, Hugh, that if you put Matt Bryant up and elevated him to the starting unit, let's say he's ready to go, the moment you release Giorgio Tavecchio, he's going to get snatched up.
That's the point that I was trying to make before everybody told me that Mrs. Bryant was going to be all on my timeline. Like, Ms. Bryant, that's all John Fricky on that
one.
She's
okay. Awake.
Yeah, that's John Fricky all on that
out?
One.
Is she? Yeah. What did she say?
Well, nothing yet.
So oh, okay.
We'll
right. Oh, Wendy. See what Wendy did. Wendy gave her
but
the heads
did,
up.
She did like one of the injury updates with her.
See, Wendy
Matt
gave
Bryant
her the heads up. You know they're talking bad about your hubby.
Oh, no, we heard not. We love Matt Bryant.
I love Matt Bryant. Clutch money Matt Bryant.
Yes, clutch money Matt Bryant. Coach also talking about Baker Mayfield, talking about, and you were asking him comparisons. And I know it's early. It's kind of, you know, you go, well,
he didn't want to make any comparisons.
He doesn't want to make any comparisons.
Well, that's why I did.
But he did say, you know, he meets all the markers. That was just that he said he meets. When Dan Quinn gives you something, meets all the markers sounds like a downplay, and it is, but that's Dan Quinn's way of saying, Duke can play. He's tough. He's fast. He's accurate. He, you know.
What you like about Coach, with respect to the guys that have played and the ones that are playing now, he doesn't like to make comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I kind of got from it because, you know, we're always comparing this person to that person and saying da-da-da-da. Yeah, so he didn't want to do that. So I respect him for that. But with everything that Coach – all the adjectives that Coach used to describe him, to me, sound a little bit like Brett Favre, a little bit. Sound like a Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers type of player.
You know, and maybe more Favre because he's got kind of that animated personality. We saw that in the Rose Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is a pretty button-down guy. He's an intense guy, but he's a button-down guy.
Yeah.
Favre was much more carefree and, you know, kind of out there. And Baker strikes me, you know, as being that kind of care. I can't see Aaron Rodgers running poorly from the cops. I could see Brett Favre running poorly from the cops in that Baker Mayfield video, the now infamous Baker Mayfield college video. Or he couldn't even outrun a cop, but maybe he just needed a blocker. The Browns and that's the thing. Here's the other thing. Greg Williams doesn't have anything to lose as a coach. That's why I ask whether or not you have to be prepared. And Coach was talking about, you know, that everybody does kind of the same scheme, but we don't know what plays that they're going to like. In other words, we know what they run, but Greg Williams may come out here and choose to run this set of stuff at us as opposed to what they've been running in the first part of the year, even though this team went to, as Coach pointed out a couple of times, 4 overtime games.
Yeah, and not only that, John, you know, I think – I forgot which game it was, but Coach pointed out to us a few weeks ago that, you know, there were some looks that a team gave him that they didn't scout. I mean, that's possible. That's possible because you're talking about right now that a huge feather would be in the cap of the Cleveland Browns if they could knock off – the surging Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, phew, yeah.
A huge feather in the cap. So I'm thinking as a coach, you're going to want to pull out all the stops. You're going to look for matchups. I can see Myles Garrett playing a little D tackle. I can see him moving in inside. I can see him moving around, getting the best matchup against that offensive line, especially against Ben Garland and Wes Schweitzer. You know, I can see them trying to do that. So yeah, they're gonna come ready. They're gonna come locked and loaded.
And especially with that defensive line being as active as it is for the Cleveland Browns, and forget Myles Garrett, of course, 9 sacks. But I'm telling you that Ogunjobi can play. I mean, this is another young kid that came out of a small college. He played in Charlotte in college. Nobody he lit it up at the combine. Larry Ogunjobi can play. Emmanuel Ogba at Oklahoma State was one of the hot. These guys are top 5 picks for a reason. They got, you know, Denzel Ward. And again, they're going to have top 5 picks. Why it's such a great job for the next head coach. That is going to be a very desirable job for a lot of coaches in the NFL because they have such good young talent. But Cleveland can line up their defensive line and just try and get pressure with 4, Hugh. They don't necessarily have to blitz their linebackers because they're so good at rushing the passer. Now, that will allow them to crowd that secondary and try and take Atlanta out of what they want to do. And that's where it's going to be. This game is going to be about whether or not the Falcons can go on extended drives against one of the better, more difficult defenses to face in the NFL?
I think it's going to come down to, John, I mean, honestly, I think it's going to come down to if Atlanta can get on the board quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from here to the end of the season, Atlanta's a high-powered offense. They can score quickly. I don't think there's a lot of teams in the NFL that are built to go toe-to-toe with them.
Mm-hmm.
The one team that comes to mind immediately is probably the Saints that could do that. Ain't too many teams that on your schedule right now outside of the Saints that are built to go toe to toe with you right now if they keep doing what they're doing. So that's where you get them. You help your defense out tremendously by making everybody one dimensional.
Falcons official watch party for the game on Sunday starts at noon at the Public House in Jonesboro. Tons of Falcons prize giveaways during the game. Freddie the Falcon, Falcons cheerleaders, Falcon alumni. Again, Public House in Jonesboro, noon on Sunday for the official watch party of the Falcons and the Browns. In a moment, yes, the new poll is out and we'll react to it, but Jim Harbaugh will talk. But there's a potential story out there about a Georgia coach leaving the program. Who and where and why?
The SEC Championship Game, Georgia-Alabama, Saturday, December 1st at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
And nobody's got you covered like us. The SEC plays here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Little college football notebook this morning. Boy, does it sound weird to hear a promo for the SEC Championship Game already set on November the 7th. But it is. College Football Notebook is sponsored by Dixie Vodka. Football season means tailgating and a true Southern tailgate. Not complete without Dixie Vodka. That's at DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America and raised in the South. Well, the new playoff poll came out yesterday. It went just as we expected that it would, Hugh. But there are some things to chop up in this poll. Not that Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Notre Dame 3, Michigan 4, and Georgia 5. Let's begin with 4-5, because there was some question late in the day before the poll came out. Would Georgia jump Michigan into the number 4 spot? And Jim Harbaugh was feeling like he had to make the case for his team after that win against Penn State.
Do you have any doubts about your team right now after that demolishing performance against Penn State?
Well, we don't want to lighten up. We want to tighten up. But I like our team. They're playing hard. They're playing focused. They're playing confident. Confident in their own abilities and confident in each other, doing their job and practicing really good and trying to get better, trying to be better today than we were yesterday, trying to be better tomorrow than we are today.
All right, of course, obviously the Dan Patrick Show. So Harbaugh and Michigan coming at number 4 right behind the team that they lost to, Michigan 8-1, lost early in the season to Notre Dame. It'd be interesting if those two played again. They won't, but it'd be interesting if those two – well, I could say they won't. I mean, they might meet in the playoffs. You never know. But whether or not that same result would happen. Notre Dame's a different team with Ian Book, a quarterback, no question.
Yeah, both teams, everybody's kind of grown a little bit. Like they always say, John, better lose early than to lose late.
One of the interesting – Oklahoma comes in at number 6. We said 6 through 10 was going to be interesting. Let's just go through it. Oklahoma 6, LSU 7, Wazoo 8, West Virginia 9, and Ohio State 10. LSU at number 7. They only dropped a 7 after getting beat. Now, granted, they got beat by Alabama. That just shows you the two things. One, the quality of LSU's wins and how much the committee values Alabama. It says, you can lose to them 29-0 at home and still not drop. But LSU at 7-2 is 5 spots ahead of Central Florida at number 12, where they stayed this week. Not that they shouldn't have moved, but this is the committee saying loud and clear, Central Florida has gotten, if you didn't think they didn't have any chance before, they certainly do not now. You cannot be 5 spots behind a team with 2 losses when you're unbeaten and have a chance. I just don't see that happening.
No, not at all. And I think the fact that LSU beat 3 ranked opponents, they also had the toughest schedule by far.
Right.
I think that's why people look at them and say, you know what, that loss you had, that 29-point loss you had to Alabama, yeah, that was bad, but you're still better than most of the other teams that are below you.
Well, and not only did they say that a 29-point loss to Alabama is better than you, Central Florida, putting Ohio State 10, they said a 29-point loss to Purdue is better than you. Now, think about that.
Yeah, but Ohio State struggled a little bit last week against Northwestern.
No, Nebraska.
No, excuse me, Nebraska, you're right. Against Nebraska, they struggled. They struggled mightily against Nebraska.
Yeah, Huskers could have won that game.
Yeah, they could have. They had some opportunities there. Definitely had some opportunities there.
Now, this is one thing I've never figured out with the playoff committee poll since we've had this poll. I've never figured out really. First off, I've never really figured out why they do a poll, but they do
to get you talking about
it.
Yeah,
I guess
to get everybody speculating.
Right. But I really don't understand why they do something. They should just do the top 10. Because why they have to rank all the way through 25? But anyway, they do, and as a result, Auburn comes in at number 24. Now, a couple of things about Auburn. Gus Malzahn. There was a story yesterday, Hugh. Gus Malzahn is back next year. What do you think?
Yeah, because they just paid him.
Yeah.
It would be foolish to pay out all that money.
$49 million.
Yeah, and I guess with the buyout, you pay him a little bit more than half?
Yeah.
They don't feel like doing that.
They're not paying Gus Malzahn to leave right now at Auburn. Plus, Auburn has, at number 24, Hugh, a chance to be the single most impactful team in the nation.
Spoiler.
Yeah, because guess who they play?
Spoiler. Both of the teams that are in the top 5.
Yep.
Both of the teams, Alabama and Georgia.
Right.
Yeah.
And they go to Athens this week and face the Georgia Dogs. And, of course, we know what happened in the regular season last year. See, if you're Georgia,
team.
I know, but you still got to guard against, not let down, because I don't think that's fair. The fact that it's not a letdown. Auburn just happens to be a really good football team. Now, they're 6-3, and people are saying, well, they're not great. I didn't say they were great, but this is an Auburn team that has beaten Washington this year, has gone toe-to-toe with LSU, a team that Georgia didn't. So, I mean, if you think you're walking in, and it's a rivalry game, you don't think that Jarrett Stidham and Auburn are coming here to win. You got another thing going for them.
No, I believe that, but I tell you what, that's different now that as opposed to last year when you saw them the first time, is that Jake Fromm seems to be more comfortable throwing the ball than he was that first matchup that you had against him.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Elijah Holyfield and DeAndre Swift are running the football much better.
Oh, yes. Well, Swift is
much better. Yes. Running the football much better. So now you're talking about playing against a Georgia team that last year in the first meeting seemed a little one-dimensional. Seemed a little one-dimensional, like they could only run the football. And when they were pressed to throw the football, that's when they had all the issues.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's a lot different. Jake Fromm has matured and grown a lot as a passer. And your running game is starting to get healthy. So this is a different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a little bit like your defensive line for the Dogs are getting healthy. And your offensive line, for that matter. Because you're talking about in that Florida game, it was guys getting – they were banged up. They were banged up, and they were getting manhandled. They got it together. And it looks like that this offensive line is ready to move the crowd.
And you're seeing the development of some players. Demetrius Robinson still remains injured. But for all the impact that everybody expected that the transfer from Cal would have this year, really it's been Jeremiah Holloman who's come up and really been the star of that receiving core in terms of being the next guy up and really being impactful to this team. And Holloman's played great. And Ryan Ridley's played pretty darn well, too. So Calvin's little brother's had heck of a year. So you're going to have the 7 o'clock game in Athens, Auburn and Georgia. At the same time, they're kicking off down in the flats between Miami and Georgia Tech. Miami comes into the Georgia Tech. I wouldn't have given you this at the beginning of the year. How about this, Hugh? Georgia Tech is favored to win this game in Vegas over Miami. They're both 5-4. How about that? Georgia Tech is a favorite. At the beginning of the year, you would have said, oh, Miami was going to beat them
like they did last
year. You know, and so, no, but Tech comes in, of course, you know, leading the nation in rushing, nearly 3,400 yards and 41 touchdowns running the football this year.
And if I'm not mistaken, Taquan Marshall's supposed to get the nod to start this weekend,
yep,
correct?
That's what we understand.
Yeah, he's supposed to get the nod to start this weekend.
Yeah, that's what Paul Johnson said.
Which is kind of interesting.
Uh-huh.
It's real interesting. Coming off the game Tobias Oliver had, it's kind of interesting that you would decide to do that.
Yeah, well, but and I think that both, as Paul Johnson said, both will play. And you would hope that if Tobias – look, if Taquan does – you know, look, let's not forget that Taquan Marshall can play quarterback too. He's pretty good. But it does seem that the offense runs a little bit more efficiently in that style with Tobias Oliver.
Yeah,
I agree.
It does. It really does. I mean, the passing – I mean – if you're going to compare the two, I mean, what, Tobias, like, he was 100% passing last week because he was 2-for-2.
Right.
But, you know, it's more about who runs the ball more efficient in that offense. And it just seems like Tobias Oliver is the guy that does that a lot better.
And I think he does, too. But we'll see it against Miami on Saturday night. Mark Richt coming back to Georgia again under fire. Oh, man. Don't go to the midday show and ask John Michaels about Mark Richt.
Oof, oh, no. He has a lot to say. None of it's nice.
No. You don't think that. Man, it is not pretty. Yeah, he is not happy. There is reports that Les Miles could be back in business, that he could be the leading candidate to replace David Beatty at Kansas. That would be a great hire for Kansas at this point. More interestingly to us, there are reports that one of the leading candidates for the open job at Maryland is Georgia defensive coordinator Mel Tucker. And that would make a lot of sense on a lot of levels. Maryland is in disarray right now, obviously.
And they need somebody to come in and right the ship for them.
And settle the program down. Mel Tucker can do that. Maryland is worried, rightfully so, about the impact of the recruiting that this will have because of what DJ Durkin's legacy is to this program. Mel Tucker has deep tentacles in the South. You know, he can bring players that he's already started to recruit up with him to Maryland.
Woo. To go from Georgia to Maryland, if I put it like this, if I was a young man and I grew up in Georgia, to get me to play up north, like to Maryland, any one of those schools where it gets cold, boy, you got to sell me on it. Something like there has to be some huge incentives. I mean, I can't see a lot of kids.
A few, because they're just out of the personal relationship.
No, I understand. I understand that, John. But we're talking about going from Georgia to Maryland.
Well, where you could play right now in the Big Ten.
I understand. I understand that, but it also gets cold. As a, I'm thinking right now. I'm thinking now as a kid. That's a big thing, John. No, I know you're talking about. What are you talking about, Weenie?
You always complain about the weather. Hang on. I'll give you a little insight here because Tom Osborne told me this once. He said he bought all of his – recruiting was back different than back in the day, right? But he would bring all of his key recruits into Lincoln in January when it was going to be ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
And intentionally. And he said two things. One, if you can't handle this, there's the plane. Number two, don't get drafted by Green Bay because if you can't handle this – you're going to fail.
I understand. That's something different. I understand that. But when you're a young kid, I mean, that is a selling point. I would give you that because they said you got to be able to play in cold weather. But I would rather have my college 4-year college career in Georgia as opposed to Maryland.
From a program standpoint, yes.
Georgia, Maryland.
But was it worse to play in 28 degrees or 92 degrees?
No, it's about the same. You're right. But as a kid, I'm telling you, as a kid, That's a big change, and you're moving away far away from home. It happens. But I'm just saying.
But we're losing the story here. But Mel Tucker to Maryland is something Georgia fans need to keep their eye on, and that's going to happen. Look what happened with Saban. Success breeds this. How many coordinators are out there from Saban? How many? Everybody, right? That he's ever had at Alabama. He just keeps rolling. Next up, Atlanta United prepares for leg two against NYCFC, Greg Garza joins us live on John and Hugh.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A Super Bowl is a spectacle like no other.
No one else has the NFL or Super Bowl 53 coverage like us because we're your home for the NFL in Atlanta. Super Bowl 53 plays here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brassel and Almarone both standing over the ball. Almarone's right arm in the air. Brassel will strike it, play it to the top of the arc, and it's Joseph with a shot, save! Rebound is in for a goal! Try to VAR that one! You won't be able to! And it's Eric Rometty! 1-0 Atlanta United!
Atlanta United takes game one of the two-leg playoff against NYCFC on that goal up at Yankee Stadium. And Sunday they can close out the New York City Football Club, and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are joined now on the WaveFord.com hotline. Looking forward to the Five Stripes. Greg Garza is back with the club, and we are thrilled that he is, and he's back with us. Morning to you, Greg.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Greg, so how did it feel being back out there, man? How you feel?
It feels great, man. Excruciating 4.5-5 months to get back. Worked my tail off to get back, and I guess it's been worth it, right? Opportunity comes, and glad to take it.
First playoff win. How does it feel to get your first one? I know you got another leg of this, but how does it feel to get that first one down?
It feels great. You know, one down, we definitely have four to go to bring that trophy home to Atlanta, but one by one. Sunday is our most important match now.
Yeah, you get a chance to knock out NYCFC. All right, we're kind of new to this, and we've been working through, Greg, a lot of fans here, working through the rules here. Suffice to say that really, you guys want to be kind of unlocked this weekend. You don't want to get into a high-scoring match, which is kind of counterintuitive to the way you play, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the main thing this weekend is to look at it as another 0-0 match for us, and hopefully we can come away with a win. But if we have to take a tie, if it's 5-5, 10-10, doesn't matter how many goals we scored, as long as we come out with that one goal on top that we had away.
And I know in that first match you guys had, what, it was zero shots on goal for New York FC?
Right,
NYFC, zero shots. Was that the
– Go ahead.
Was that the game plan going into this match?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think from the very beginning, Tata wanted us to be very well on the defensive side. And I think we did that. You know, really keeping them zero shots on goal, and you know, just that responsibility of being as intense as we could, giving them the respect they deserve, but not too much to where they could have any chances on goal.
You know, Greg Garza back in the flow with Atlanta United, bringing his speed and energy to this attack and this team now in full health here. I guess it's got to be good. You know, you've been battling through your injury, of course, and and some of the other nagging things like Miggy Almiron of late. There's no reason now that you guys are not in the best shape, maybe form of all season in terms of the health of the club.
Yeah, for sure. This is the most important time of any season, right? You know, this is when you need all your big guys to step up, and I think we have the talent to do that. You know, as long as we can stay sharp defensively and have the guys with all the talent they do up front, as long as they can be lethal up front, then we should have a good go at this this trophy looking forward to. All right.
Greg Garza joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Of course, Atlanta United, as we get ready for the game on Sunday at 5:30 kick, by the way, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the playoffs. Greg, not that it was – the win in and of itself at Yankee Stadium was critical. I understand that. But it's the first win in the franchise history in the playoffs. And given what happened last year, was there a little bit more emphasis of, look, we can't let what happened at the end of the year bother us. We've got to go forward. We've got to try and make this season what it should have been all along. A little bit of pressure on that?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I think – I mean, I said this before the first game in an interview as well, but after the regular season, this is a new season for us. This is you know, the most important games of the season, but at the same time, you have to turn the page and kind of forget everything that happened during the season. We had a hell of a season, but you know, I think that now you're looking to a new page, you're looking to a new legacy to build off of, and I think we did that with the first game. We have to keep going.
Sounds like it's going to be an electric atmosphere at Mercedes-Benz on Sunday.
It always is, John.
You got to be happy after Toronto and New York to get back home.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it feels good to be back home, and you know, we definitely need to give these people what they deserve, and hopefully they'll be there and chanting the whole entire time.
Well, Greg, we certainly look forward to it. 5:30 kick on Sunday. Go out, get a – I was about to say get a win, but hell, get a tie.
No, get a win.
I'll take a win or a tie. Doesn't matter.
Get a win.
A tie is a win. Thanks, Greg. Do appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Greg Garza of Atlanta United again. Of course, that's part of our big Sunday. Falcons and Browns, Atlanta United and New York City Football Club, and then Hawks and LeBron all back-to-back-to-back on
LeBron
Sunday.
LeBron James out in L.A.
We have some breaking news that we want to give you involving the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons have signed Bruce Irvin for the remainder of the year. Not only have they signed the veteran Bruce Irvin for the remainder of the year, but according to the reports from Adam Schefter, he will be available to play Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. How about that? Wow.
Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. You know me and my conspiracy theory. The boast of that pass rush, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
The boast of that pass rush? Very interesting. Well, you do, and you do need D linemen. You do need D linemen, and you do need a compliment to tack a little bit. That's not an indictment of anybody else. I'm just saying. You do need you need to take some of that pressure off attack a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it isn't an indictment of somebody, apparently. I mean, Bruce Irvin picked up for the remainder of the year. Well, we talk. Look, you can talk about it if there's an elephant in the room here.
What are you talking about, John? Why are you trying to put me on the spot?
I'm
not afraid to talk about what I want to talk about.
But why would you need to make the move unless you figured that there's an area you needed to shore up?
That's what I kind of threw out there. I threw it out there. I just didn't feel like saying anybody's name.
Okay, fine. Bruce Irvin signs the deal, and according to Adam Schefter, let me just read through this. Yesterday, late last night, Schefter tweeted that Irvin and the $3.8 million that he had left on his contract, that he went unclaimed on waivers yesterday. Okay, so he was a free agent, and the Falcons have picked him up. It's a one-year deal. He's reunited with Dan Quinn, and per Adam Schefter, the Falcons plan to play Irvin Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. So that will be the big news at Flowery Branch today, the arrival of the veteran Bruce Irvin to the Atlanta Falcons. How about that? Well, I didn't expect that this morning. That's a
why not, John? You've been speculating about it for like the last week.
Well, I didn't expect it this morning.
No, but you've been speculating because it was like a what was the AT last week? It was a tweet. John was trolling through somebody's tweets and said, Bruce Irvin said something about coming to Atlanta. Oh, false alarm. That's an old tweet. And I was like,
well, I think it was from 2011.
Yeah, yeah.
I was excited, you know, with the idea. I was just getting ready with the idea. I was just a week ahead of it, okay?
You were. That's what I'm saying. You were a week ahead of it.
But again, the breaking news, kind of cool. Bruce Irvin to the Atlanta Falcons.
All right. Hey, Bruce Irvin. So he's going to be at practice today.
I would assume so. If he's playing Sunday, I guess he's going to be here.
He's going to be at practice today. Yep. First day of practice.
You're going to have that. So
I wonder what that's going to look like Sunday. Like, seriously. Like,
I know.
I wonder what that's going to look like Sunday. I mean,
Bruce Irvin in a Falcons uniform.
Well, not that, John. I mean, you know, he has a line. There's only 11 people on the field. Now, that's an indictment. And that's a speculation on my part.
Well, but you're not wrong, I don't think.
No, I'm just saying. I wonder who's, like, he's somebody got to come off the field.
We got to talk more about this on
the backside. Somebody's coming off the field.
Because I got more to say about this breaking news for the Falcons. We'll do that as we continue in a moment on the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.